place. We stand to our feet, begin to one more time lift up our voices in praise and worship to the Lord. Recognition today that the Lord is speaking and the Lord is moving. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Before the Sunday school's dismissed, don't go yet, but let's go ahead just all over this place. Fill the house with praise. Lord, we love you, God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. There is none like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's the voice of hunger, the voice of desire. Oh, I want more. I want more. I want as much as I can get. Lord Jesus, I want as much as I can get. Oh. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're not certain what's going on here, praise the Lord. It's just a whole bunch of people who've been set free, delivered by the powerful, mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Just rejoicing. Recognize, hallelujah, hey, you got your team, I've got my team. Hallelujah, my team is Jesus, and I praise him. I worship, I go a little crazy for him. Hallelujah, because he's been that good to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you just remain standing, Sister Mia, why don't you come on up? Hallelujah, I'm very thankful for her. This week was a big week for her. We went up to Ocala, Florida. That is where our United Pentecostal Church International campgrounds are at. Sister Meehan secretly has, for the last couple years, been studying and preparing to get her local minister's license. And this week they awarded it to her, hallelujah. Without any, well, they asked some questions, but I think that was just more just mandatory than anything else. Hallelujah, but they awarded her, and I am so proud of her. Hallelujah, and legitimately, now you can call her Reverend Crystal Meehan. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You don't have to do that, but she is now a reverend. If you've ever heard her preach, you know that God has anointed her and blessed her. Hallelujah. So how about we just rejoice in the Lord with what the Lord has done in her life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Sunday school can go ahead and be dismissed now. Thank you so much for being patient with us. Thank you for worshiping with us, praising God with us. Hallelujah. If you'd like to head in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. And I'm sorry. A Pentecostal church is a little bit like going to the gym. You're up and down and up and down. Hallelujah. And for all of you who just got seated, I'm going to ask you to stand again out of reverence to the Word of God. And I apologize if I'd have caught you before you'd be seated, I would have. But just out of reverence to the Word of God, how about you stand? Let's read this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea." Praise God. What's the reason? Why were they casting a net into the sea? Well, because they were fishermen, right? It wouldn't be abnormal to see a fisherman out there casting his nets into the sea. He saith unto them, though, Jesus speaks to Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, and says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, "And they straightway left their nets and followed Jesus." This is something that's been burning in my heart for the last week. I tried to present some new idea to you, try to make it a little fresh. Today, though, we're just going to talk about being fishers of men. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you in for it? You in for whatever the Lord wants to do today? Praise God. If that's the truth, how about we go ahead one more time, lift up our voice, ask Him to bless us. Lord, we want to receive Your word. I ask that You would speak to us. Speak through me, Lord God. Strengthen my voice, Lord, and my body. Help me to communicate Your word in this place. Oh, Lord, I pray that conviction would fall, but also encouragement. Let the anointing stir in this house, that, Lord, we might receive Your word in this place. We love You and we thank You. We praise You for all that You've done and are doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody shout amen. As you can hear, my voice is shot. I'm a little under the weather. Came back from vacation, our long week. Came back a little under the weather. So I just need you to preach with me today, if that's okay. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Today, I just want to talk for a few minutes on going to catch fish. I think it's important today that we talk about this, we emphasize this in this day and in this hour. Now, I know, again, this is a very common saying that He would make us fishers of men. But this wasn't actually unique to Jesus. There are several scriptures, Old Testament, that uses this example of the sea being the world and fish being those who are lost without Christ in their lives. Many passages of Scripture use this example. One, specifically, Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 14. This is quite interesting. It says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it will no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." You may recall the book of Exodus. The children of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt under Pharaoh. But the Lord, through miracles, signs, and wonders, He performed 10 plagues that would move the heart of Pharaoh to the point where He would let them go and they would be free to worship their Lord. What a great deliverance that was. Amen. Hallelujah. It would be hard today to match. Hard today to one up the plagues, right? We're talking about turning rods into snakes, water into blood, locusts and flies, boils. All of a sudden, the whole place went pitch black. And you notice it was black, pitch black, dark completely for the Egyptians. But the Israelites were walking around in the sunlight. Hallelujah. What miracles and signs and wonders. Of course, finally at the end, at the final plague, was that God would kill all the firstborn children in the land of Egypt. Every home that was not covered by the blood. Hallelujah. This would be a miraculous deliverance. Not to mention the fact that on the way out, it would come between two mountains, facing a body of water, wall on their left, wall on their right, water in front of them. But before they could reroute, here comes the Egyptians coming after them again, ignoring the 10 plagues. The fear and anxiety that they would hold at that moment. But God would perform another miracle. Hallelujah, something that had never been done before. The Lord would cause a great wind to separate the body of waters so that it would be as a wall on their left and a wall on their right, and they would walk through on dry land. What a deliverance. Oh, praise God. What a deliverance that was. Oh, but Jeremiah makes this point. He says, hey, you remember what the Lord did and how he brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He says, people are not going to talk about that deliverance anymore. It's going to be put on the back burner. It's not that they're going to forget it. It's just not going to be the greatest deliverance the world had ever seen anymore. But there would be a deliverance that would rival it, that would be more talkable and great. He says in verse 15, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands whither he had driven them away, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. But how are you going to do it, Jesus? How are you going to do it, Lord? Look at this, verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishermen. Oh, I'm here to tell you, this is a greater deliverance than the plagues that the Lord would ordain and set apart. Oh, I feel an anointing coming on that the Lord would ordain and set apart some men and women that they would take this gospel out into the world and would preach to the lost. What a great deliverance. Oh, come on now. I truly believe the gospel and the commission, it is a greater deliverance than even Egypt was. The fact that he called me and he called you. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. You got to remember, hallelujah, this deliverance wasn't like the nation of Egypt. The nation of Egypt, they were in one spot. They were there in Egypt, staying in Goshen. Hallelujah. But at this moment, the nation of Israel scattered. The people of God are here and there. They're scattered through every nation. Oh, I'm here to tell you, there's still people of God who are scattered in every nation. still people of God that just don't know they're people of God yet, that the Lord has called and the Lord has chosen. And the Lord says, I just need some fishermen who will go after them and will pursue them. Some hunters, that shall hunt upon every mountain and every hill, that will undo every rock. Come on now. Hallelujah. They're not going to let the rocks hide them from them, but they're going to go into every corner. Halabasana, I'm calling on some people who will get it in their heart that says, I'm not just going to sit back and let them come to me, but I need to become a fisherman who's going to go out upon the mountains and the hills under every rock, because I've got to find the fish. The sea in Matthew is emphasized. The Sea of Galilee. They cast their nets into the sea. The Old Testament emphasizes the sea. It says in Isaiah 57 and 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The waters of this life and in this world are troubled and without rest. Its mire of sin has clouded the eyes and made it impossible to see a way of escape. They've become creatures of the depths, having to learn to survive in the ecosystem of carnality and wickedness. Every fish is a prey to another fish. They're out there trying to survive. The only way they can is to learn to either hide, poison, or fight. And I'm certain there are times when they catch a glimpse of light, but darkness has become the bed on which they rest. But then someone casts a net. Someone drops a line. Someone hooks you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone drew you out of the sea. Someone brought you into His marvelous light. Oh, I'm here to preach to somebody. We got to go to the sea, and we got to find some fish, and we got to cast our nets and drop a line so that they too can walk in the light that we walk in. Oh, would you clap your hands? Who did it for you? Who did it for you? You didn't come to this faith on your own. You didn't just wake up one day knowing the name Jesus. Somebody told you. Somebody dropped the line. Somebody cast a net. I want you right now to think of that name. Maybe it was your father or your mother. That's okay. We got to fish our children too. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe you were just desperate and you just went to a church because you heard maybe they could help. But somebody at some point preached to you about Jesus. Somebody preached to you about Jesus. Sister Diane, you know the name of the person who first preached to you? Wow. Sister Michael. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for Sister Michaels. Brother, you remember the first person who preached to you? You know the name of the person who first preached to you? Pete. Brother Aaron, I know you know. What's the name of the person who first preached to you? Brother what? Brother Dan, these men and women decided that they were going to do something outside of themselves. They were going to fulfill a higher calling. So they came and they preached the gospel to you. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? God forbid somebody cast the line for me, somebody toss a net for me, and they drag me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock to stay. And yet I sit back and I just hoard up the goodness of God for myself, knowing that there's been somebody out there who doesn't have a preacher. How are they going to hear unless I decide to go preach to them and tell them of the goodness of Jesus? Come on, somebody did it for you. You got to do it for them. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, brothers and sisters, never forget the name of the person that brought you into the truth, that preached to you about Jesus. Never forget the name of the person that did it. Why? How beautiful it is that they would step outside of their own path to step into your path. How beautiful it is that they decided to leave their home and go where you were and preach to you. And my only prayer, Brother Al, is that one day I can call on somebody and ask them who it was, and they'll say my name. And they'll say your name. I want to tell you something that most churches won't tell you. You are called to be a preacher. You may never step behind a pulpit. You don't need to step behind a pulpit to be a preacher. In fact, if you really want to get technical, dig it. Dig in. You tell me if I'm wrong. Every single place where the Bible talks about preaching, it's about delivering the gospel to the lost. It's never about standing behind a pulpit. That tells me that I'm called to be a preacher, and you're called to be a preacher, and you're called to be a preacher, and you're called to be a preacher. That tells me that all of us are called to be preachers, because the Bible gives us the commission. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. That wasn't a command just for me. That was a command to all of us. You're called to be a preacher. You're called to be a fisher. You're called to be a fisher of men. Oh, rejoice in the Lord today. Lift your voice unto God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we see the church as a strong tower that I can run into, and I'm safe. And that's it. That's the end of the story. But look at this, Matthew 13:47. Look at this parable that Jesus spoke. We're going to talk about all of it, but really I want to emphasize this beginning. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. God has called and ordained the church not to be a place where we just go and sing our songs, cry our tears, and then go home and never think about it again. The church is not called to be a place where we just sit around healing one another. I still believe the Lord heals. Hallelujah. But here's another thing you got to look into. Almost every miracle in scriptures were meant to draw the lost to Jesus. If we want to see miracles, signs, and wonders, listen, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. It's when we become a net. It's when we decide we're not just going to be an institution that sits around patting each other on the back, but we're actually going to go out and we're actually going to preach the gospel, and we're going to gather the fish and we're going to bring them in, because without us, they're going to be lost in their sins. Oh, come on, somebody. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. It's like a net that was cast into the sea, and it gathered of every kind. We can't decide who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. Stop deciding for Jesus who he wants to save. Oh, God, you want me to talk to that person? They've got more writing on their body than the Bible has in it. You see the shade, the color of their hair? They're not going to want what I've got. Well, I'm here to tell you, he's going to gather them of every kind into the boat. Hallelujah, because I can tell you he loves them no matter what they look like or act like. They can act tough. I've seen the toughest of the tough come to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, I'm telling you it works. All we got to do is just get a little bold and say, yeah, I'll preach to them. I'll deliver the gospel to them. It doesn't bother me. I had a man came into my father's church. This guy's huge. When I say huge, I mean the biggest shouldered man I'd ever seen. big, thick shoulders, big, strong guy. Been to jail multiple times. Drug dealer. Had a rage problem. He'd just lose it. Everything go red. Next thing you know, he'd be in handcuffs. The only reason he came to our church because he liked one of the little girls there. But at some point, God got a hold of him. At some point, the Lord touched him. Hallelujah, I'll never forget the day when he was baptized in the name of Jesus and he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. After service, across the street, there was a KFC. We went over to the KFC. We were all just walking to go inside. And I noticed this big, strong, brawly man slowly walking. I went to him and said, "Hey, man, you all right?" He said, "Shh, listen. I've never heard the birds before." Hallelujah. That's what I mean by the Lord can take the toughest of the tough and change his heart and transform them. Hallelujah. We got to gather of every kind. Hallelujah. Not just the kind of people we like. It got real quiet just then. All the clapping shut down right away. Not just the type of people we like. The type of people we think are going to make good Christians. The type of people we think are going to make good preachers. The type of people who tithe. Right? Hallelujah. Every kind deserves the chance to hear that Jesus loves them and what the Lord is able to do in their lives. Clap your hands to the Lord. You see, for which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the goods into vessels, but cast the bad away. Verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. That's not my job. That's not your job. Our job is to gather. His job is to sever. Listen, it's got to be a mission for every member of HPPC that you're going to contribute to the gathering of the fishes. Hallelujah. Halabasuta ramasi. You're going to contribute to the gathering of the fishes. And Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. This is the first step. If you want to do something for God, if you want to be a fisherman, fisherwoman, first thing is you got to follow after Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. What does that mean? It means I can't lead them someplace I'm not going. Is that okay today? So I want to see souls saved. I've had so many people preaching. Well, where are you taking them? You're not coming to church. I'm thankful you're preaching. But listen, they're going to mimic you. They need somebody who's going to disciple them and show them what it takes to be a healthy Christian in the Lord. I can't take them someplace I'm not willing to go. If I want them to follow me to Christ, then I got to follow Christ. Every step he takes, I'm going to take. Every word he speaks, I'm going to speak. And guess what? The person coming with me, they're going to do the same thing. Every step I take, they're going to take. And it's not actually me that they're following. It's Jesus, because I'm following Jesus, and they're following me. Hallelujah. Follow me, and I will make, he is making us fishers of men. To make means to designate or to call. It has several implications. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, Peter, that day was not a fisher of men. He was a fisherman, but he was not a fisher of men. That day, though I'm sure he could have done his best, he had not yet learned what it meant to follow Jesus. But 3 years later, 3 years later, Peter would stand up on the day of Pentecost and would preach the first sermon of the church. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And in that moment, hallelujah, 3,000 souls came to know Jesus. Why is that? Because the last 3 years, he's walking with Jesus. He's following Jesus. And Jesus made him a fisher of men. Now listen, I'm not trying to imply that you got to get this kind of training or that kind of training in order to do it. I'm just suggesting that you got to let the Lord work on you while you preach. Let the Lord teach you while you preach. Hallelujah. Let the Lord make you while you preach. But at the end of the day, I have to adopt this idea that I am a fisher of men. Why was this so significant for Peter, for Andrew? It's because their livelihood, and I'm almost finished, their livelihood rested upon them fishing. This wasn't a hobby for them. I've been told recently that there's a difference between going fishing and going to catch fish. Fishing has become a lifestyle. Am I right? Some of the men say amen. It's not about going and catching fish. You're going out there to sit in the sun, get away from the family, sit in a comfortable chair, maybe doze off every now and then. And if you get a little hook, a little snap on the hook, all right, that's exciting. Let's get that fish in. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something bold right now. How many in this place have gone fishing and came back empty-handed? Listen, that wasn't just because of your inexperience. It's because you probably didn't go out there because you were desperate for fish. I can tell you right now, it's probably cheaper to just go buy fish from the market than to have to get all the material and equipment and everything together to go fishing. Am I right? So fishing to us, it's an entertainment. It's an enjoyment. It's something we do for fun. But if Peter didn't fish, he didn't eat. If Peter didn't fish, his family didn't eat. If Peter didn't fish, he lost his home because he wouldn't be able to pay his bills. This was not a hobby for Peter. It was a livelihood. That's why when Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men, he wasn't just saying, hey, I'm going to give you a little fishing pole. Go have fun there, Peter. He was saying, I know right now your life is built around the idea of catching fish, but now your life is going to be built around the idea of fishing for men. I am changing not just what you do for fun, but your very purpose in life. Oh, come on now. This is what I feel in the Holy Ghost. The Lord is saying, I want to change your purpose in life. I want to make you more than just a churchgoer and a pew sitter. I want to make you a fisher of men. But if you are going to just go fishing, the church has to get out of this mindset. I will maybe talk to somebody about Jesus if they talk to me about Jesus. I'll maybe bring it up if they bring it up. But see, this fishing pole, it's not really for fishing. This fishing pole, it's more for relaxation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just go fishing. I want to go to catch a fish. I tell you what I felt in the Holy Ghost last Monday. I felt in the Holy Ghost a burden inside me that says I can't go a single week without talking to somebody and they saying they're going to come to church or preaching the gospel to them. If that means I got to leave and go find them, then I'm going to go to catch a fish. But I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm going to plan for it. I'm going to work at it. Why? Because this is my livelihood. This is my purpose. This is what God has called me to do. This is my identity. I am called to be a fisher of men. If we could stand today. During district conference, a man testified. This was during the voting in the beginning of the day, earlier in the day. Said that 51 years ago, his mother was invited to go to a church. Nobody in their family attended. Nobody in their family believed. It was a struggle. It would be years and years and years before her husband would come to the truth. But in the meantime, she would raise her kids to know the truth. And they would raise their grandchildren to know the truth. And he boasted that now 30 of her children and great-grandchildren are living for God and involved in ministry in some aspect. He testified that he himself, who was the son of the woman, as a young man, performed his first baptism when he baptized his own father in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? Not just a life transformed, a family transformed, a household transformed, destinies. 30 people, that's a small army. That means not just their family or the individuals. That means the kingdom of God has now been transformed. Because there's 30 more soldiers, hallelujah, out there preaching the gospel and working in the ministry. All because a little lady was invited. Somebody went out and found her. I don't know all the situation. I don't know if they were a coworker. I don't know if they just knocked on the door. I don't know. But somehow, somebody got, Brother Victor, can you get that pole for me? My friend, it's in the back here behind this screen. Somebody went out and decided they are going to cast a line. I can tell you today, my life has been transformed because of it. Thank you, my friend. My life has been transformed because of it. My father was born and raised Catholic. He didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about God. But my mom met him and invited him to church. She went out and cast her hook. She said, I don't know, maybe she was thinking this man's handsome, I don't know. But she said, I want to see what God can do. He came to church, and the first time he came, he said he was sitting there in service, probably how some people are feeling today. So why is that lady yelling at the wall? He didn't understand it. He ran out of that building. He got out of there, booked it as fast as he could out of that place. But see, it was already too late. The hook was in him. The hook was in him. He said that it just kept bothering him and bothering him and bothering him. Until finally he said, I got to go back to that church. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I felt. It's kind of crazy, ludicrous to me. But something is different about that church. Can I tell you, he went back to the church. He was baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he started preaching. And then he got his pole. And he went out and started fishing. Today, he's a Pentecostal preacher and pastor in Fort Pierce, Florida. I'm here to tell you, all it takes is somebody. He got married to my mom. And they had three boys. My brother's an assistant pastor. My other brother works full time for a church. And I'm a pastor. All because some lady dropped the hook. Said, is anybody going to bite? And by the way, she did marry him. They're celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. Whose life is going to be transformed because you put out a hook? Whose destiny is going to change because you threw a net? Whose family? What family of preachers are going to come because you said, I'm going to push past my embarrassment I'm going to recognize I'm not a perfect human being, but I've got a hook, and it's the love of Jesus. Anybody today feel that call? Anybody today feel the call that will say, I'm not just going to fish as I go. I'm going to go to fish. I tell you, somebody's got to get a burden so strong that you're going to go to every door in your neighborhood and you're going to knock on them just to invite them to church. You're going to invite them to a personal Bible study. You're going to tell them, we're going to do a neighborhood Bible study at my house. I'd love for you to come. Why? Because, hey, maybe it's not going to work. You don't catch every fish, but one of them will bite. One of them's going to catch it. Come on, do I need to convince you anymore? Are we ready? Are we ready to go fishing? Hallelujah, are we ready to catch some fish? Oh, praise God, right now I want to invite you to come down, and I don't want you just to come and bow down. I want you to come and stand.